Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tweet at us or just follow us or both. Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Paul Mercurio tweets. It's at Paul Mercurio, right, Paul?
Yes, it is.
Now, Paul, where can people find your dates all across the country since people can hear us other places?
PaulMercurio.com. One R in my last name. If you do two, it's that annoying Australian actor
guy.
Oh. Paul Mercurio. Yeah, M-E-R-C-O.
Oh, that's him? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I had to change the spelling of my name because of that guy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I...
Yeah, for social media purposes.
No, for the union, the
Oh, the union. Okay, yeah.
I got my first partner thing, and my manager calls me, "We got a problem." "Well, you got to change your name." I'm like, "Why?" Because there's a guy with your name. I go, "Who would have this name?"
Yeah.
This guy does this movie, Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story is that he was a choreographer on the movie. There's a lot of dancing in it, and the actor couldn't handle the dancing, so they let him do the dancing, and then he said, "Well, he's a good actor," so he ended up being the star of the movie, and then he did Exit to Eden.
Right, yeah.
With
I totally, because since I've known you, I don't even think about that guy's name, and you're right, it is the same name.
But it happened, I went on a show a couple of days ago, and it happened, and he did like Exit to Eden with Rosie O'Donnell, mm-hmm. And she was in a Teddy, which...
Oh, that I remember movie, yeah, years ago, yeah. Dana Delaney's in that, though, she's hot.
Right. Oh, she's always hot, too.
That's the one I think of, is Dana Delaney. Yeah. I delete Rosie O'Donnell.
No, Rosie's actually in leather in that movie.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, right.
And she's not as fat then. I'll give her a little credit, but she's no Dana Delaney.
I give it three throw-ups in your mouth.
You're not watching that Smilf, are you?
I'm only one episode
in. What is that about? What is Smilf?
Single mom,
Boston. Oh. It's funny because Frankie Gray, is that her name?
The reason I'm not totally into it is because I love Shameless, and it just seems like an extension that is not necessary, although it's different.
It kind of is, but she has a biracial kid. She's from Boston. Her last name is Bird, and she named the kid Larry.
Bird. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So Mercurio is the name, obviously.
Yeah. So Rosie O'Donnell is the mom.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Gray-haired, frumpy-looking mom.
Yeah, she's great now. She's great, though.
She's really good.
Yeah, I've seen a couple
of what happened was that people started Googling me and getting his website. Now, he was a dancer when this first started, and like super, he had one shot with like these super tight pants, black pants.
All right. That's on your site.
It's junk.
It's you and the Arthur guy in that one picture.
Probably rubbing him down. You got to have a partner.
When you go to my site, by the way, the minute you land on the homepage, it goes...
That's the buffering, the wheel. It's just a guy groaning.
Okay, by the way, I'm sorry I turned down your leg massage advance there.
I felt bad about that.
You're invited. You can get in there and bust up some scar tissue later on. After the show, just get in there and
just really
work it around.
Work it.
I got to watch that.
I need that.
It's so sexy when you say it like that.
You mentioned being in the change for the union. You tweeted out, you told me a while back that you're in a movie right coming out. Aren't you in a dance scene somewhere? What is that?
Oh, I'm in the movie Chuck with Liev Schreiber, the Chuck.
And I love
Webner
Liev Schreiber. That's why I asked you about Liev Schreiber. Oh, you're in the Chuck Webner story.
Yeah.
Is that out?
Yeah, it's out.
It's on the DVOD, right?
And now it went to pay-per-view, all that
I'm a huge Ray Donovan fan. I love Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, he's
he was real cool, right?
He was really cool, although my agent called me the night before I was going to go on the set, and he goes, "I just want to give you a heads up. Some of the actors, Liev can be really intense," and he's like...
He's an actor's actor, right?
Yeah. And I'm like... I got a bottle thrown at me in London on stage. I'm not worried about this guy.
Yeah,
I know. When you're a comic and you put the stuff that we put up with, but he's really intense, but he was really nice. So at one point I had lines and stuff, and I'm like this guy. I'm like one of his, like a Guido kind of guy. Right. Oh, you know. And there's a thing you do, like Italians go, "Hey, Maron," like it's not a swear word or anything. Yeah. It's like, it's just a thing. And he pulled me aside and he goes, "I don't, you're an Italian, not from Brooklyn, but from New Jersey.
Wow.
I don't know if that character would say Maron." And I'm "You're a douche."
Did you say that?
And I punched him in the
you
balls.
You thought of it.
No, I was sort of like, really? Come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, and so I went, okay, okay. And then there's a thing that they teach in acting is like just agree with the direction you're getting from whoever.
And do what you want.
And then do the same thing again, and they think you did it. I'm like, okay. And then I just did the same thing again. Right. But then in between takes, he's got like 20-pound dumbbells, and he'd stand face to the corner, and he'd just like—
Well, he's got to be ripped for that movie.
I don't know if it was like the character doing it or he was doing it. As the actor, I don't know what it was.
Yeah, because if we all watched Chuck Webner fight. I'm that old, and he was not really muscular.
No.
So he was just kind of a schlub.
A
great fighter, but a schlub-looking guy.
But it was really the—
Is the movie good?
It is good.
I love his story.
I'm in it. And,
I say you didn't make the cutting room floor. You're in it.
I'm in it.
Cool. I want to watch it then.
I hold the door for something. No, I go in. I'm in a scene. I had three scenes. Two got cut, but this scene is really fun. We're in a nightclub, and we're dancing, and he was really, really nice. And the director—
It takes place, what, 78?
Yeah. It's mainly the focus is after he beats Ali. And this is the basis for the Rocky story.
Yes, it is.
And he settled with Rocky because it was essentially the Rocky story.
Right.
And he gets the money, and he gets another fight, and he buys the furs and the coke and this and that.
Goes
and
crazy,
he's going
the
downside, right?
And who are you?
I'm like one of his posse, entourage-y, you know.
Did you get to meet the rest of the cast?
I did, yeah. I
worked. Ron Perlman's in it?
Yeah.
Wow. Naomi Watts?
Yeah.
Wow. Rappaport?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Rappaport's in it, too?
Yeah. He's great. Yeah.
And so...
Jim Gaffigan's a good actor too.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
He plays his way. Jim and I, and it was in— Jim was in the scene too with me, and Jim and I are friends, obviously, from stand up. Mm-hmm. So when you go, so they dress me as like a 70s Guido.
I was gonna say,
and my friends are like, you and if you look at a picture of me from high school. I swear to God, it's like they took my clothes from high school and they put them on me.
Well, that's excellent.
Silk shirt. Like gold chains. The reason I got the part
was how'd you get the role?
I went in, I gave some massages, and you're in.
That's your line.
That's his line.
I was just massaging the air, and I got it.
Yeah, we don't think that characters would say that. He's from South Bronx, right?
He doesn't crawl. Why you naked? Good.
So then I dressed like kind of Guido. I put like a diamond, like a gold ring on, and I bought like a gold chain.
Man, the whole bit.
And then at the end, the scene they had me do was like we were dancing in the club.
Well, first of all, how'd you get the role? I forgot about that.
My agent just put me up for it, and the casting director. And it's all about the relationships with the casting people.
Oh, it is? Okay.
They remember you. And then they'll like say, oh, you know, Sean was in and he can't act worth a lick. they'll see you for one thing. You're not right for that, but they'll remember you for something else.
So you're not ever really just auditioning for that. You're thinking, want to make an impression.
And they want to see how you do on redirect. In other words, that's a big thing with them. Yep. So like you'll come in and they'll say, you know, Sean, okay, that was good, but try it like less angry.
Yep.
And they'll remember.
You're coachable.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Can they coach you up?
Try it with
can
talent. They would say that to Sean. Just try.
I do it my own.
Right, exactly.
I don't know much about your acting career, Paul, because I know you're a stand-up, and you know you've done stand-up for years, and obviously do radio, and you write. But how much acting did you have before that?
I've acted in different things, but all small things. But I've trained a lot as an actor because it's a different discipline than stand-up, and I didn't want to fall into the trap of. Some stand-up, like when you do stand-up, I think if you're a good stand-up, you're listening to what's happening. Your brain's split, right, guys? And you're listening, oh, they're not really going for this bit. You're kind of editing as you go. And you can't do that as an actor. You can't be stepping outside of yourself and going, how am I sounding right now? Like, or whatever. Because then you're not in the moment and the camera's like so on top of you. Right. It picks all that stuff up. So it's a different discipline.
But you also know a lot of famous people, so you're not intimidated at all by acting with Liv Schreiber?
No, not at all.
Not really? Okay. Because that to me, that's Liv Schreiber to me.
I mean, because of being around these people for so long on these different shows. Mm-hmm. Like that's the Paul McCartney was the only one. Yeah. He was on my podcast. I think I told you guys.
We'd all be freaked out by Paul McCartney.
And the reason I ended up getting that was that because I did not treat him like a star. I talked to him like a normal person about his kid and traveling and whatever, and I didn't ask for an autograph or a picture. And that's why.
Yeah.
And so on the set, you know, so I go in for the audition, and the audition had me like at a nightclub on the dance floor dancing. And I go over to him and I'm like, hey, champ, blah, 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 blah. And he offers to buy me a drink at the end of the scene. And I go, all right, thanks. And I, in the audition, So like I'm like sort of you're like pantomiming dancing, and then I go, "Thanks, champ." And then I turn away and I go, "Yo, Adrian!" And it wasn't in the script. And they said, "That's why I got it."
Really?
"Yo, Adrian."
It's weird. It's always those.
Because I tied it in. They teach you to try to button it up with something, and I tied it into the whole Rocky theme of it without like being overt about it.
That's pretty
so. I got it. Yeah, I got a part in that, and that was really cool.
Why don't you get up and act it out for us here?
Okay.
Oh my God! I can't believe you
did it. Hey, Chip, how you doing? Put that guy down. I'm unbelievable. And you go, "How much you get for that? Like 10, 20,000? And he goes, "Eh, something like that." I go, "Oh man, you're the best." And he goes, "Hey." And he goes, "Charlie, buy him a drink." And I'm like, "All right, champ." And I spin away. "Yo, Adrian!" Like that.
And, well, first of all, you didn't dance for us. There you go. that was tough. I have a computer here, obviously, and I just went in. I just typed in disco, and we have a bunch of disco in there, which is very perfect,
including the Inferno.
Yes, we do. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. I love
that guy with that Mercurio guy with the tight pants. He had a tank sleeve.
Not you,
he had
this other guy.
This
right?
other guy had like what we
back
call
to his website,
the Guinea tea, and he had a bottle of water. And he was like the shot, and it was like, and my one of my friends googled. He goes, "You know, there's a picture of you. It looks like you're doing gay porn." I'm like,
with a guy named Arthur.
I so want to say his last name.
I know you do. It's not blank, by the way. It's not blank.
It's not blank. No. It's Arthur
Falcons.
Something. And it's like, and so, yeah, so it was really cool, and he was nice, and the director was really cool. The director makes all the difference. If the director's a douche, like, then it's just like, it's just like really tense. And and Jason Jones, who and I, he and I are friends from The Daily Show, he was in it too. He was in, we were in the same, one of the scenes together. He plays like this cheesy promoter at a club.
Okay.
It was Liev Schreiber like wanted this movie made. Like he was the one that really loved it.
Yeah, I heard he did. I heard he was a big boxing fan. Yeah.
But it's really like the device that they use, and I don't want to like they used this like a storytelling device that was really interesting. Like they kind of did some they intercut
Webner's
some real
face is all beat up. Is Shriver's face all made up for this movie? He's kind of punchy. He's punchy looking.
Yeah, not really. Like they kind of kept that, but like he really just seemed to become the guy.
Yeah.
Like it really is like he I love Ray Donovan
That's
too.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
Ray Donovan is a great show.
Yeah, it's he's so good, but he was definitely intense.
I forget one of those X-Men movies where he played Hugh Jackman's brother, and he was frightening.
Yeah.
Oh, he actually is one of those two. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He's a big
so
guy, and he's a Jew.
Oh.
Schreiber. Yeah. I heard
a real
Schreiber,
Jew.
Schreiber. Yeah. Right.
Not he's a real Hungarian Jew. Wannabe.
What's his glasses look like though?
Like yours. Like yours.
I actually have these are Woody Allen. The name of these glasses are the Bebops, and they're
what Woody,
Woody
wore.
Allen. Totally but I got them before the whole thing.
What Woody wore? You mentioned. Meeting famous people in the Colbert, like you said, you're not going to be more famous than Paul McCartney. So everybody else comes in that show.
Yeah,
you don't freaked that out by anybody insane. Anymore.
No, not at all. Yeah. I told you the story how I got him on my podcast, right?
Well, yeah, I love that because you just treat him like a regular dude. Like, I remember.
And then he called me, and I have a voice message on my phone from him.
That is really cool. And you kept that voice message, right?
Yeah, you played it for us.
Yeah, you did.
It was insane. It was like he was like the nicest guy in the world, and he
because you didn't talk to him about stuff.
He was just in the hallway.
You weren't doing the. Farley show, the Chris Farley show.
Oh, yeah,
show.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is the best interview ever.
You know what else he did during that interview that he didn't do when we were on his podcast? Is you pressed play and record.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
that was ridiculous.
I got to have you guys on again. We did a whole great show and it never got recorded.
That one didn't.
Because of us, Luke.
Yeah.
Luke's fault. No, it was my bad.
Yeah, it was poor communication between the two of us. Let's say that.
No, it was my bad. I'll take it. And then
it was just
so. Bad. And then it was really good. But then we did another one.
Yeah.
It was just as good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember being just as good. I don't remember being just as good.
It was good. And then,
the first one was better.
What you thought so?
Yeah.
All right.
But the best way.
It's just you.
Well, then it really was better.
But the best way to meet a guy like that is just to talk regular stuff.
Well, when I went up to him, I was literally, my brain just went, that's Paul McCartney.
Right.
And he's all alone. He was alone in the hallway.
Yeah.
Like he had just finished rehearsal and now we were loading the audience in and he was just hanging out, chewing gum, looking up at the ceiling like he was waiting for a bus.
Right.
And my brain, just everything, like my whole world just slowed down. I'm like, oh my God, it's Paul McCartney.
Right,
and do I say hi? Do I not say hi? Like, I don't know, right? And then I'm like, He's alone in a hallway without security. That's like a gazelle on the Serengeti Plains. I'm going to pounce.
Exactly, you moved on him like a bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I rubbed his
Tic Tacs.
I'm just rubbing old men's back.
Right, I offered to take him out furniture shopping.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I forgot about that part.
You could just grab McCartney's crotch if you just see
him. That's right.
They love you when you do that.
Because he's famous.
You just grab his
the
crotch.
The only thing I did where I kind of like started to get, as now we're talking. He goes, what do you do? I'm a stand-up. I love stand-up. Blah, blah, blah. He's telling me, like, he knew Richard Pryor and this and that. Oh.
You also said you work for Colbert, so he knows that's why you're there
in
the hallway,
and the
right?
Daily Show. Yeah. And I think that gave, like, that he's politically minded, and those shows, he's a big fan of the shows. Right. So, like, it just sort of puts you in a club immediately with him, right? But as I was talking to him, I was getting...
See,
closer,
that's interesting,
and closer to his face.
Oh, you're close talking?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like.
Oh, really? You're too close?
I could have literally.
Because you couldn't believe it was Paul McCartney?
Well, right, because it's, you know what I mean?
I want to be you.
See him, like, he's iconic.
I can't imagine.
I'm like getting like this, and he's like, he's going backwards. Like, and like, you know, like on the National Geographic Channel, and you see those chimps, like, that clean fleas off their mates?
Yeah, right.
I literally could have cleaned ticks off his eyebrows. That's how close. I would have if he'd been wanting me to.
That's refreshing to hear, because a lot of the guys of that stature are really unplugged from pop culture.
Yeah.
They wouldn't know The Daily Show. They wouldn't know Colbert.
Yeah. Well, I think, but if they're politically active, they do know those
probably
guys, because they pay attention to what's going on in the world.
Bruce Springsteen became a big fan of the show in part because of his son. His son was a teenager, and I go into the show one day, and they go, just so you know, Bruce Springsteen's in the audience.
Now, that's another freak for me. He sat in the audience to watch it.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to go here now and crap my pants.
Yeah, no,
I almost said S-H-I again. Yeah, and
so you did the warm-up, and he's just sitting
in
there.
And he's sitting there with his baseball cap pulled all the way down to my left.
So he's not even performing?
No, he just came to watch the show.
Got
it. Just a cap and an underbite in the crowd.
Exactly. And I just went out and I went, and they pulled me aside. And they're like, that was the weirdest warm-up I've ever seen in my life. And then every once in a while I went, Clarence! I just yelled, Clarence! Now, the other side of that coin was Jon Bon Jovi, who sat in the front row when he was preening the whole time, just short of like having a hair dryer to have his hair blowing while he wanted to be acknowledged, and I didn't.
Man, everybody knows Bon Jovi, so why would he care? People know the hell he is, you know?
Yeah. It was like Todd's hat, like a white baseball cap. Bruce Springsteen sitting there with his hat, T-shirt. And they whisked him in and they whisked him out. And
well, you mentioned about talking about regular stuff. I can't remember the comedian's name, but years ago, a comedian we know, it was out west there in outside L.A. somewhere. Springsteen was at a gas station somewhere on his motorcycle. And the guy was just there. And I can't remember who told the story. I wish I could give him credit. But he saw Bruce at his motorcycle, and this guy knew motorcycles. So he just walked over and said, hey, Bruce. And he asked him about, he just said, how you doing? And I'm asking him about his bike.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about music the whole time, and they talked to him forever.
Yep. Yeah,
that was it. But you know what though? We get people on the phone, and we haven't talked to Bruce or Paul, but if we get people on the phone. You can't do that the whole time because the audience wants to hear.
Right.
Yeah, stop.
Right.
You have to balance that regular guy with an actual question.
Right.
But in person,
here.
I would be that guy.
Yeah.
You wouldn't, because you don't know anything about bikes.
No, but I would still say something besides I love this song.
Yeah, no, I didn't say anything about the Beatles. We didn't talk.
You wouldn't bring the Beatles up.
He brought up his son that he shares custody with Heather Mills. He lives in London. He's on this and that. And so it was all about like just two guys talking about their life.
Yeah. Right.
Then when I got him for the interview for the podcast, you know, I asked him, you had to ask him
stuff.
I said, you know, you're a Beatle. Why would you have sex with a woman with one leg? That was my first question.
Did you ask that?
And then it was like, hello, hello.
That's what I'd say. I heard she was a bitch. And why do you bang her with one leg?
I assume easy access, but I don't know.
Then he hangs up.
Hello, Mr. McCartney, are you there? I had to stall him for 20 minutes,
and then
I finally get him on the phone,
right?
And I'm ready, and they go, oh, you have to hold on. Paul's in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So now
yeah.
I'm just picturing Paul McCartney taking a huge dump.
Of course you are.
And it's
we all?
The toilet goes backwards to the other way, you know? It's like probably the most creative dump ever, you know?
Yeah, it's probably like the length of Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Like his poops are psychedelic.
I'm guessing he poops like we do.
And then he got on, and then we just talked about music. I didn't ask him one thing about, like,
that's awesome.
Yoko or John.
Yeah, that stuff.
Because I really did want
Yoko, you know that was John.
Yeah, John.
Oh, yeah. You guys are all the same. Right. Yeah.
And then we call, you would appreciate this, you do a show. I call my studio in L.A. and they go, oh, we don't have a thing. We don't have a line. I need a line to do the thing. And the guy goes, this kid, like, I go, I have Paul McCartney and I need a recording line.
Right.
And he goes, we got somebody in the studio. Like, and I snapped and I turned into this guy and went, did you not hear me? I said, unless you have Jesus Christ or John Lennon in that studio, get him out. And then I had to stall him for 20 minutes because we had to find, I was having a nervous breakdown.
Oh,
but he could not have been a nicer guy. And I've been big time by people much smaller than
Oh, yeah.
By me.
We all have.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not having lunch with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. I just asked to give you a back rub and you said no.
Get a hold of Arthur there. Paul McCurry, when's Paul doing TV here? Now, okay, I'm going to come back. FunnyBoneOmaha.com. Sean Gadan and Sean O'Brien with us, too. FunnyBoneOmaha.com. See all these guys this weekend. Come on back.
You're listening to the Dodd and Tyler Radio Empire.